Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for joining us. It is the pre-Father's Day edition, and today we're talking about Father, beyond a father's love. Now's a good time to call in to, not 215, so sorry, 855-454-5905. I have the other number etched into my memory this morning. 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany. And as you mentioned, happy pre-Father's Day. But I like to explain a little bit better. I like to say Father's Day weekend. I mm-hmm. like that okay. For me. But either way, Father's Day is tomorrow, mm-hmm. and we are really excited to be able to talk about and honor the fathers today here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and God, thank you so much for the fact that you are our Father in heaven, God, and that we are many of us have been able to have great fathers or father figures in our lives, God, that we can really be inspired by and encouraged by. I pray that you help us to have an amazing, amazing time, God, the next couple of hours as we are here on our show. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to share a scripture here because I don't think this is perhaps we don't read or discuss enough, but I think it totally applies, especially as we'll be talking about fatherhood and the importance of it in our lives and in our relationships. But Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, it says, when he was 12 years old, he went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, his parents were returning home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and man. You know, I love this passage because, you know, a lot of times we'll look at it, we want obedient children. But what really it matters most is a child that wants to gravitate towards God. And, you know, that is something that you know, absolutely we see in the example of Jesus. But, you know, how important is that father figure in our lives? I mean, it wasn't even Jesus's earthly father as much as his heavenly father, where he put God first, his father first in his life. So we want to definitely have a great conversation today. We hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. We're going to go ahead and take our phone calls right away, I think.
Yes, we're going to go to the phones, but we want to remind you what the phone number is. If you have any questions regarding your relationship with your father or any praise for your father, this is a good time to give us a call. 855-454-5905. Let's go to Tammy, calling in from Philadelphia. Tammy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, thanks Tammy. For calling.
Hi. So I'm pretty much calling because my father, he was actually not in my life, and my mother actually met a wonderful man who was there since day one, and I love him to death. I don't have any relationship with my biological father at all, and it's fine with me because the man that's in my life now is an amazing person, and I'm actually struggling with the same thing. My son's dad isn't in his life, and he actually moved out of the state. So I'm just, it's something I've been struggling with for a while, and I'm just trying to really forgive him and accept the fact that, you know, he's not going to be here.
How old is your son?
My son is actually 1.5.
Okay, so he's 1.5. Has he ever been involved in the 1.5 years?
He wasn't involved during the pregnancy. He came around once he was born, and then he started to be on and off. And then he just was, I guess, part-time, I would say.
Hmm.
He was never, like, as involved as I would have liked him to be. He pretty much gave me a whole hard time when he was around.
Okay.
And then eventually he just disappeared altogether.
I tell you what it is, Tammy. It's very difficult for a lot of men, and I'm not excusing him at all, but it's very difficult for a lot of men to be able to be great fathers if they had very poor examples.
Yeah, but he said that he had a poor example, but I hear otherwise, so I don't know.
Well, no, let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay.
And I think that what ends up happening is if someone truly understands what it means to walk like Christ and they really have that relationship with God and God is truly first in their lives, then they will be able to and will have great opportunities to be surrounded by great men. So that's not the excuse. But I think there's something missing here. It almost sounds like there's something first wrong with his relationship with God. And I don't know where you stand with that, but, you know, I don't know if this is a man that you actually married or you were just with. But I think that, you know, if you don't have that foundation first, I mean, I'll be honest with you. A man is just not going to be able to love you because people, you know, we're selfish in by nature. But when we're Christians, we deny ourselves. God transforms us. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would not be the father or the husband that I am if I were not a Christian.
Okay.
And so I think that what you really got to realize is if he were to be a Christian and hopefully God, you know, he would be open to God's word and turns his life around, he would be very different. I mean, I think he would even see the errors of his ways. He would realize he needs to be a better father to his own son. But when he's not, I mean, who knows what he's thinking? Who knows where his mind and his heart is right now? And I think for you, Tammy, it's understanding, okay, look, moving forward, just like your mother did, it sounds like she made a great choice the second time around. And learning from that, it's okay, what would you be looking for? Because the next man that comes into the picture, I'll be honest with you, if he's not a Christian, if he's not strong, if you don't do it God's way, you're going to set up your son to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So I think
it does.
Now, the forgiveness part is another story. I think you got to have in your heart of hearts understand, you know what? It's what Jesus said, right? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Okay.
And I think it's, you know, it's going to take a lot of prayer. And I think praying for his heart, praying for his soul, is going to make a big difference for you.
Okay. And that's hard to do as well. But I have to continue to remind myself that forgiveness is, for me, is not about him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it is.
I have to pray for his heart as well, which is something that I have to work on also.
That's true. And then also keep in mind, Tammy, that you've done things, right? And you've made some poor choices
definitely.
As well. And so it's not all him, even though he is responsible. He should be in his son's life. But there are some choices you made as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, Tammy, we thank you. And we'll be praying that you have that forgiveness in your heart. And I think for, first of all, for your sake, for your relationship with God, but also for your son to guard his heart so that he will not be bitter.
Yes. And that's what I hope that everything's okay with my son as well. I think that's the root of the anger also. But I just want to let everything go and just move forward and just allow God to come into my life more because I know that's going to be the best thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I just want to accept his blessings because God is blessing me. So I just really want to move forward and forgive because I know that's going to hinder me from further blessings if I don't.
Okay. Amen. Well, we really do appreciate your call, Tammy.
Well, thank you for listening. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, listen, stay right there. We're going to continue our conversations about Beyond a Father's Love. Are you struggling with your relationship with your father? If you want to give your father praise for this weekend, feel free to give us a call. 855-454-5905. Stay right there. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Today's topic, Father, Beyond the Father's Love. We welcome your phone calls at 855-454-5905. So definitely give us a call.
Amen. Well, Tiffany, I was going to ask you, so what is your fondest memory growing up about your father or your stepfather, your father figure in your life that perhaps stands out to you the most?
Oh, interesting question. I think there were times at Christmas, like I always loved Christmas because the whole family would come to the house. And that was one of the few times the whole family was together. And I can't even say the whole family because my family is extremely large, but the whole of my immediate family came to the house. And just, you know, seeing my mom and dad together and them playing with my toys. Like, there was so much pride in all the things that they got me, and just the communal dinners and the laughing and sitting on dad's knee. And he used to do the bouncy thing, like long before the Cosby Show, and how he used to bounce the kids on his knee. You know, my dad would do that. So I do remember that. And I remember, you know, the proud look on his face when I graduated both high school and college. That was just very, you know, nice to see that I made him proud. You know, so that was great.
Amen. Well, I'll share mine in just a minute, but we do want to hear from you. We're going to give you this number. We are having a discussion on a father's love. We want to hear from you the importance of growing up with a father, the influence that a father has in our lives, and really the importance of fatherhood in general. So we want to hear from you.
That's right. And the number is 855-454-5905.
All right. So I'll share mine really quickly. Actually, I got in a lot of trouble. And I never forget this because it was the first time I really saw my father crying.
Wow.
And I was a teenager and I did something really stupid and just got in a lot of trouble. And instead of getting in trouble by my parents, my dad sat me down and really took responsibility and said, you know, where did he go wrong? And I never forget, you know, just the pain that I caused my family, you know. And, you know, as teenagers, sometimes we do some really stupid things. And I'm grateful that I was able to learn some really important lessons in life. But I think the biggest one that I learned is just seeing how my sin hurt my father. Mm-hmm. Later on helped me to connect as a Christian how my sin hurts God, because I couldn't make that connection before. I'm like, hey, if my parents, if they don't see what I'm doing, if they don't know what I'm doing, then, you know, how's that gonna hurt them? And then later when I just was able to have that conversation with my father and seeing him cry and just apologize to me, and it was totally my fault, you know, it just was really convicting to me, and it was so helpful. And later on, I said, even to this day, I can able to make that connection, knowing that my sin hurts God. That doesn't just hurt other people. Or I'm not just hurting myself, but I'm absolutely hurting God because God loves me so much. So hopefully you have some great memories yourself. And like I said earlier, it might be your father. It might be a great father figure. I know unfortunately, some people didn't have the best relationships with their father. But really, a father is the one that was there for you, raising you, loving you, and being there with you in the moments that you needed him the most.
So, and the phone number, by the way, so you can give us a call, is 855-454-5905. So how would you counsel, what words of encouragement would you give to the person or people, because unfortunately there are many, who don't have the greatest relationship with their father and don't have very strong memories and didn't have any other kind of father figure in their life?
Well, I think the beauty of that, and I'm not trying to make this kind of like some, you know, oversimplistic solution. I mean, we do need that encouragement, that love, that's very important. But I think also we get to a certain age where really the ones that are missing out are the fathers. Mm-hmm. So if your father wasn't there in your life when you were younger, when you get older, in a lot of ways, he would have benefited. Like you said, even your father was proud to see you graduate and mm-hmm. go to college. And later in life, and as my dad is still alive and we're great friends, I realized that it's not so much also what he can do for me, but it's also what I can do for him, because it's a relationship. And I think that the biggest, I would say, drawback of a father that wasn't in his children's lives is how he misses out. He'll miss out later, and he'll miss out on the grandchildren. It's a big miss on his part. And so I think that at that point, it gets to a certain point, I think, when you're an adult, that you're like, well, you know, thank you, Mom. You did a great job. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for the different men you put in my life. But if I didn't really have a father at this point, let me be the best father I can be. But it's mm-hmm. more, it's going to be really his loss, not mine. And making sure that you have mm-hmm. that forgiving heart. And like I said to a previous caller, mm-hmm. make sure you're praying for yeah. your father if he's out there lost somewhere.
All right. Good stuff. So we look forward to you finding your way to the phone and giving us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Vincent calling in from New Jersey with a comment on Father's Day. Vincent, good morning. You're live on the air. Hi, Vincent.
Yes, Vincent.
And little Larry.
There you go. Larry's there. How's it going, Vincent? So you had a comment for us on our topic for the day?
Father's Day. What a lot of our society has become more and more matriarchal than patriarchal, but if you look at the recent events, the impact that fathers have, be it large or small, look at the impact that Joe Jackson had on Michael Jackson and that Michael Jackson had on his kids. I mean, even at his funeral, his daughter was just crying out that you're the best daddy in the whole world. How about President Obama, who had a very short encounter with his father, but yet it impacted so much to be president. And one of the things that he even said is that the best thing that he could do for his kids is not be like his father.
Wow. That's
so
true.
So society really has tend to, in a lot of cases, you see the diminished, influence and involvement of fathers in their lives, but even those who have a small involvement in their children's life, look at what they did. Let's look at biblically. Let's look at David.
That's true.
How, you know, being king and, you know, being very busy, yet mentoring his son Solomon to build the temple.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do give David a lot of bad, you know, press for being a dad, you know, especially because of, you know, his lack of ability to kill his son when his son was trying to kill him.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I look at that strongly in the fact that David knew that the way that his sons were acting was because of his sin. And he probably felt like it wasn't truly his son's fault, but it was more of his fault.
Yeah. It's very possible. But I think going back to the point you made there is how important is a father's role, and we can't, you know, minimize that. And there are many issues today in society that if fathers were more involved, many men will grow up to be different than they are. I mean, I believe that the statistics are, astronomical in how many men who are in prison in the prison system didn't grow up with fathers or strong father figures in their lives.
Well, not only the statistics on prison, let's look at the statistics on premarital sex. Let's look at abused young ladies. Let's look at crime running rampant. And let's look at the, it's not a statistic, but I, you know, state that, you know, one of the biggest reasons we're having so much homosexuality is the fact of roles being confused and not enough male presence in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or father-president relationship.
You're right. Well, Vincent, I appreciate it. I think you bring up many great topics here, and we're having this discussion. Keep the fathers in prayer. I think that, you know, the devil knows, right? If he attacks the father figures, the fathers in our families, then he can destroy the entire family.
Exactly. Or as they say in the military, if you cut off the head, the the body soon falls.
That's
so
right.
That's the biggest attack on Satan. Let's look at, you know, how he destroyed our relationship with God. He attacked, you know, he used the Father, Adam.
That's right. That's right. Well, Vincent, we thank you so much. We appreciate you listening and calling in this morning. We thank you.
All right.
Thank you both. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Vincent.
All right. Thanks a lot, Vincent.
Have Bye-bye. A blessed day.
Let's go to Sheila calling in from Delaware. Sheila, good morning. You're live on the air. Hi, Sheila. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, good morning. My comment basically is that growing up, I didn't have my father in the way that I wanted to have my father. My parents were separated basically from the time that I was born. And so, you know, while he didn't completely desert us, he wasn't there in the way that I needed him to be there. You know what I mean? I have somewhat of like a clingy kind of personality, really emotional kind of person. So I needed my father.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I really truly believe that, I mean, I can really say thank the Lord for my father, because if I didn't have the experience that I did, I wouldn't really be able to appreciate my Heavenly Father the way I do today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the long run, not having my father really is going to really benefit me more, because, I mean, I can appreciate God, and God is helping me to love my father just the way that he is. And just like the tree of knowledge where, you know, Adam and Eve should have ignored that and went on with their happy existence,
sure,
I can ignore my sexuality development towards men that's unavailable, like my father was unavailable, and, you know, accept a husband that God has for me that would be more available to me.
That's true.
While, you know, with my real father, you know, today, like I said, I can love him the way God wants me to. My father's like has some Alzheimer's, so he's not really all that nice all the time.
Mm.
And so I can go and talk to him a little bit and be like kind of on my way, like on his nasty days or whatever. And it still hurts.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But ultimately, I know that this is not my father. My father is in heaven, and he's always loving and kind to me, you know. And so, you know, I think that the experience has served me to kind of, like, encourage maybe other people. You know, they can live outside of their experience and accept Christ in a positive way.
And, you know, and Sheila, let me commend you on this. I mean, you have fought for this relationship with your father. And I'm talking about your earthly father. I mean, the fact
right.
that he's sick and you're still visiting him and you're in there. And you know what? The love doesn't say that you subject yourself to abuse. And I know he's not,
right.
you know, he's not well, but I think that's important to say, listen, you know, I love my dad. I'm going to visit him. I'm going to be there for him as much as I can. But if he's having some really bad days, then I can leave and I can come back and pray for him. But I do want to commend you on that, because sometimes, you know, when we're really hurt, it's easy to hurt back or to turn our backs on those who've hurt us. And yet you've decided to stay in there. And I think that's a great testimony for yourself, for the convictions that you have and your desire to want to please your Heavenly Father.
Right. It is. That's exactly what it is, because I'm telling you, if it were not for God and me wanting to please him, I couldn't do this. Because on some days, my father is downright nasty.
Mm.
And that is the truth. And, you know, I'm not the kind of person that ignore how I feel or what I think. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I give it some attention. I don't always obey it. You know what I mean? But I do give it some attention. Okay, well, Lord, I'm feeling like really horrible. Please help me. Help me to act the way you want me to act in spite of how I feel.
Amen.
And so, you know, I mean, there's been a couple of times that I came close, so I wanted to give my father peace. And my mom said, you know what? Today is not a good day, Daddy. I love you, and I'll see you another time.
And you know he's not well. But Sheila, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. I think that means a lot, and that is an inspiration to, you know, a reminder for us that we got to love those even when they're not very lovable.
Yeah.
So Sheila, thank you. You enjoy, and thank you so much for calling us today.
Sure. Sure. Have a wonderful day.
You too. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for hearing, too.
All right.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We welcome your phone calls about your father, questions about how to deal with something or to give your father praise on this Beyond a Father's Love focus today. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Mark, calling in from Philadelphia on line 3. Mark, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Mark, we're doing well. What is your comment or question for us today?
My comment is basically about the Father's Day. I just want to say, you know, I'm thankful for my father. I had the pleasure of having both parents in my life. Mm-hmm. And how a father figure in my life went a whole way, a long way for me, because I have a lot of friends around me that didn't have fathers in their lives, and their life turned out a little different than mine. I'm 24 years old, I'm married, and I had 3 children, and that came from watching the marriage of my mom and my dad, and the way how my dad structured his household as the man to uphold, to be, you know, loyal to his family. Mm-hmm. And as I grew up, these are the values that he instilled in me. And I took them, and now I have my own family that I, you know, had to raise. And he still fathers me as of today.
Wow.
You know, so I just want to just say to, you know, everybody, you know, if you have a father, you know, don't really talk to your father like that. Or, you know your father, you don't have the greatest relationship, you know, still try to make things work. Because God is a God of all possibilities.
That's true.
And no matter what happens in life, we definitely need those father figures around. And regardless if it's a small impact, big impact, or the tiniest impact, it's the fact that you have that relationship, I think, that was what betters the men. And that's what's the reason with our society today. There's not a lot of fathers that's in the young boy's life, and it's hurting them in the long run. You know, so I just want to thank my father just for being here for me and for raising me and then showing me the right ways of how to be a man and giving me structure and value.
Amen. Well, Mark, it sounds like you have been very fortunate and very blessed, and hopefully you can pass that forward, right, and be a great father to your 3 children.
Yes, yes, and to my son. I have 1 son and 2 daughters, so I pray to God that I'll be able to do exactly the same thing that my father did to me and do it for my son. That way he could pass it down to his offspring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we thank you so much for your call and for the encouragement and really spurring on and giving props to your father and all those men who are involved in the children's lives.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me today.
All
absolutely,
right.
Mark.
Thank
have a blessed
you.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a blessed one.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Rosalie, calling in from Philadelphia. Rosalie, good morning. You're
good
live
morning.
On the air.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm just fine. I just want to give props and kudos to the fathers that are raising children on their own. My father, and this will tell you how old I am, my father was in World War II in the Marines, and we were casualties of that war. When I say that, my 2 sisters and I, because the family broke up. We never saw our mother after. I'm the oldest, after 9 years old.
Mm.
But when my father got out of the service, he got his girls. And later, he did marry, but he got his girls to raise them. We were raised in church. We all did good. And I didn't tell him before he passed away how I appreciated what he did, because he could have walked away.
Sure.
But I look at some of these young people today. Some are doing well by their children, and maybe the mother walked away.
That's true.
But they don't get enough recognition for that, and that's what I want to do today, recognize all the single fathers that are raising children.
Well, thank you, Kim. And I think that means a lot, right, because we men in general and fathers in general, a lot of times you get you get all the criticism when things are not right, but there are many unsung heroes.
Yeah.
like your own father, and many who really are in their children's lives. And
yes.
It is, you know, the duty, but it is something that a lot of men walk away from. And so when you do
absolutely
see great men, and I love what you said, he made sure he got you, your sister, he raised you, and he took you to church.
Yes.
You know, he didn't send you to church. That's a big difference between taking you or saying, hey, just go to church. You go to church. But
he was a deacon in church, and actually he had us in church more than we cared to be.
There you
We'd be in there sometimes, three times.
But he was there, you know? And you saw him there. And so that makes a huge difference.
But, you know, and when we got older, we sort of tried to get away from that. We said we had enough church and whatever, but guess what? Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You made sure those seeds were planted in your heart. Yes. Well, Rosalie, we thank you so much. Appreciate that, and it sounds like you had a great father, and thank you so much for sharing about him.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, now, bye-bye.
Again, the number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Let's go to Kim calling in from Philadelphia. Kim, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, and God bless. I'm calling because of my oldest daughter and two of my sons, but my oldest daughter first, that has her father was never in her life. He walked out on us when I first had her at 18. And she's 36 now, and after all these years, he's returned because he's dying with stage 4 cancer.
Mm.
And he had to move. She allowed him to move into her house with him because she has been dying and wanting to have this relationship. But I've had a hard time dealing with it. I tried to help in the beginning with going and servicing him while she was working. She's married and has a daughter. And because her daughter's father is there with them, he plays a very significant part in their lives. He's a loving husband and a caring father himself. And my daughter wanting to have this relationship with her father all these years and never did, she's accepting him as he is now in his dying state. So this is all he has, you know, to offer her at this point is that he's leaving the world and he's in her life now. And it saddens me, it hurts me. I don't go to her house much anymore. And me and her are not socializing very much because I'm having a hard time dealing with it. Even though I'm a Christian and I've asked God to work on me with this, and in the beginning I tried very hard, but it's hurtful. It's hurtful that you never had the time for her as she was coming up, and she's a loving child. She has many friends. She's very giving. She's been a passionate person all her life, and she has been a godsend for me to help me with her other siblings. I have 6 children.
Wow.
And I just got my last diploma from my youngest just yesterday.
Well, congratulations.
All 6 have diplomas. My 2 sons are, their fathers weren't there either, but they are loving fathers. My oldest son is married, and he married the girl that had a child, and he adopted that child, and he raises both of his children as his children.
Mm.
There's no stepson. This is my son. And my youngest son is getting ready to be a father, and he's totally excited. They vowed that they would never be the fathers to their children. If their fathers was to them.
Okay. Well, Kim,
and
that's awesome. And I think that something was instilled in them that they're not repaying evil with evil. And I think that let's go back to your oldest, right? Your daughter. What gets you so upset? I mean, would you expect her to turn her back on her father at this point?
No, because I don't expect that. I know the person that she is and the person that she was raised to be. So no, she wouldn't. He has 4 daughters in total. And, probably this weekend he's meeting one of them that he's never, ever set eyes on because of my daughter. She's arranging for everyone, all his daughters to come together and be there for him in this time. But do I think he's deserving of it? Part of me don't think he deserves it.
He doesn't. But isn't that what grace is? Isn't that the grace of God? He doesn't deserve it. He deserves to die alone. I mean, he abandoned his children. But yet your daughter is extending that love and that grace, but it sounds like you're upset about that. Instead of being rejoicing and saying, wow, this is an upward calling to you.
I'm not so upset about her accepting it. I'm just so upset about why he chose to treat his children like this. Why did you choose to take this road with your children when you had such loving, successful daughters? I mean, one's a nurse. They're all
good girls. They're all smart girls and been to college and did things, and all of them were endowed with some beautiful things in their lives. But why did you choose to just?
Why? Because sometimes people make. Sometimes people make.
I'm not understanding.
Sometimes people make. Sometimes people make really bad choices, and it's called sin. It's called destructive behavior. And so I think for your peace of mind, I mean, is he still of sound mind where you can have a conversation with him?
Yes, and I have. And I've talked to him, and I told him, you know, at one point, I don't know why it's bothering me so much now, because, you know, God had touched my heart. God had me lay hands on him and tell him that he had forgiven him for all the things that he had done.
Mm-hmm.
And not being there for his children, and that, you know, we would be there for him and everything. But I don't know. I guess maybe because it's drawing a wedge, a little wedge between me and my daughter,
mm-hmm.
that I'm a little upset about it now. I'm upset about, you know, I don't know exactly why I'm so upset with him, but I am. He's even, you know, tried to, and at times, come at me like he wanted to reconciliate with me, but it's no way after 36 years and all I've been through in my life with my children and how I've struggled that I would do it. I thank God for being there always in my life, always being a provider and a way maker for me and my children through all types of trials and tribulations and situations.
Sure.
God has been there. He has brought us through, and this I know undoubtedly.
Well, Kim, you called us, right? So I'm going to tell you what I think. This is just my opinion. You take it as you would.
Okay.
But I think there's a part of you that is struggling with self-righteousness because you feel like you've been the one there. You've been the one in your in your children's corner. You've raised them, you've put up with them, you've done all this, and he hasn't. Yet it seems like he's benefiting, you know, during the neediest time of his life. And I think there's a part of you that feels like this is very unfair. And guess what? It is. God is not fair. If God were fair, we would all get what our sins deserve. And we will all be messed up. So God is very gracious. And I think there's a part of you, Kim, and this is just what I'm hearing, and you're going to have to really pray about this, that there's a self-righteousness there as if, you know, you're better. You've done more. And I think that when you have that, you have to be very careful because you're not looking at the areas in your life where you have fallen short because you're tuning your own horn. Like you've done this great and great. And look, you have done some great things. Sounds like you've done a lot, but I'm sure you've made a ton of mistakes and you've done a lot of things wrong.
I've made a ton of mistakes and made my children. They didn't come with instruction. I wasn't always God of faith or walking with Christ in my life. I've been through some trials and tribulations.
Sure.
I've been through some very hard times. And I've done some things that I'm not proud of.
Okay.
But through it all, yeah, I do think that I'm not saying I'm so much self-righteous. I'm just, I don't know. I don't know what to call it. Maybe you're right. Maybe
but
I'm
let me tell you what it is. Whenever, when there's ever a but, like you said, all these things, and then you say, but
yeah,
I've done it.
I did.
Whenever you say that, it really... That's what you really mean. This what you're saying now. You're saying, but I've done this, but I've done that. And you know what? You really are not seeing yourself with a sober estimate. Like we don't deserve anything. I mean, think about this. You've made all these mistakes, and yet God has been gracious, and you have some amazing children.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other parents who've tried really hard, and they've done really well, and their children have turned astray. So it's a blessing. It's the grace of God. It's not your doing. Now, God has touched your life and your heart, but I think that if you're able to see that, you know what, you're a sinner, your husband's a sinner, your sin is different, but at the end of the day, look how gracious God is. Now, I'm not saying not to feel because you're a person, and that's why I'm glad to hear that you did have that conversation with your daughter's father and forgave him. But, you know, forgiveness is something you have to continually do. So it wasn't just that one day where you laid hands on him and forgave him. It's every day. God, just help me to forgive. Help me to remember where I come from. Because you've fallen short in a lot of ways as well, Kim.
Yes, I have.
All right.
I have, and I can admit that.
All right.
And well, I still progress. I'm still constantly on the pot as well and being put in the fire and brought back out and being having my impurities pulled out of me every day. I live as a living sacrifice.
Amen.
In my life, I have to continuously do that. But since y'all were talking about this particular issue, and I'm glad it took me a while to get the number and to be able to call in, I'm glad I've spoken to you. I will take everything that you have said to me into consideration, and I will continue to pray on my feelings about this. I will continue to ask God to help me continuously forgive him on a daily basis, because I have not totally forgiven him.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, a great scripture reference, Matthew 18. Read that, meditate on it, put it into practice. All right. Well, thank you, Kim. We really do appreciate you calling.
Thank you so very much. Have a blessing.
Yep. You too.
All right. Let's go to Laverne calling in from Philadelphia. Laverne, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi. I was calling because I really like this topic. I'm glad you guys did it. For myself, growing up, my parents have other kids. They were never married. I am the only child between them. So I never, ever saw them in a relationship. Mm. But my dad has always been in my life, always been in my life. His mother raised me. When there were times when my dad couldn't be the full-time dad he needed to be, his brother stepped up. So it was like a true example of I'm my brother's keeper. And so I never had the void of a missing father. Like, I never had that void. And I'm so grateful for that. Because I learned early on that when the mother and father forsake you, that God will not leave you, and he did not leave me. So I'm always grateful that I was able to have my actual dad, but also another dad that stepped in and, you know, taught me the things that I needed to be taught from a man growing up.
Amen.
On the flip side, my children, their father was murdered.
Wow.
And
sorry to
so
hear.
They didn't have, my oldest son, he had him until he was about 8, on and off, but my baby boy was 3, so he didn't get a chance. So the void was always there. And I became very overwhelmingly overprotective, so that I limited any male figures that could be a part of their life based on what I, you know, thought would be positive and negative for them. So they didn't have you know, the chance to grow up with a male figure per se until I got married. And so I'm grateful for that, because I don't know, I have no idea what my kids feel like. My oldest son still struggles. He's 19, but he still struggles.
Sure. Laverne, give us a quick moment here. We want you to just hold that thought. We want to respond, but we want to hear the rest of it as well. We just need to take a brief break.
That's right. So Laverne, stay on the line, but if you're not yet on the line, you can be. If you dial 855-454-5905, stay close. We'll be right back. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues with more conversation after this.